Good morning, church. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, Amen. What a wonderful time together to worship and praise our Lord. Thanks to all the OC young men that are here and women who have come to participate with us. We had such a marvelous time last night, so enjoyable, and just thrilled to have some of these young people in our homes. I know that the feeling is shared by others of you that enjoyed having young folks in your house and just getting to visit with them and hear their stories, and just a marvelous thing that the Lord's church is. It makes me happy to hear young men standing up here and praying and talking about the Lord's Supper, and it's just a good thing. It really is great to be a Christian and enjoy one another's company in the way we are. And you know what? I just don't know how I cannot lead a song. There were some strange reactions on faces there. I stand to praise You, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is hungry, and my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, You know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. I feel Your arms around me, while the power of Your healing begins. You breathe new life right through me, like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, You know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, You know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my heart again. God is good. God is good. And all the time, that's the response I wanted. That's there. All right. Well, I want you to turn over into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to talk this morning about some things that I hope will encourage you and also enlighten us. That's really the whole idea about it. How many of you have been to the eye doctor? Anybody been to the eye doctor? Well, what about that when they rip your glasses off you? Huh? And they say, read this. And I say to them, oh, shut up. Why do you think I'm here? I can't read that without these. Have to put a little perspective on here and get things to quit moving around. 2020, just what does that mean? I'm not really sure. I'm not one of those particular doctors, so I don't really understand all of the definitions of these things, but I do know that when I have my glasses on, things are much better. And those of you that are wearing them, and maybe some of you are just wearing your contacts today, that's good. It helps clear things up, doesn't it? Well, I want to indulge us for a little bit in the scripture to the book of Matthew chapter 13. If you'll turn there, read with me some things that are here. The Bible has a few things to say about this idea. We're going to read the passage first, and then, of course, the lesson. The disciples are actually asking this question, and so he's responding to it, about why it is that he speaks to the people in parables. So he says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And I'm going to quote from chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, verse 9, if you want to look it up later on. You will never, or you will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Never grasping, in other words. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand, everybody's watching, with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, there's a great deal more to this entire teaching than what we'll be able to talk about for just a few minutes this morning. But Jesus was talking to them about their vision, about their spiritual vision. You knew that when we had 2020 on there, that was the desired result. That is, that everyone could get to this medium of 2020. Vision has many kinds of definitions. For example, you might be like Joseph was and have a dream. You seen something in your sleep, or you saw something in your mind. That's one way you might talk about a vision. The Apostle Paul, it says, was in a trance by some of the definitions. Peter, who was having this vision on a rooftop. You remember that? And he saw all of these different things being let down in the four corners of a sheet. They were all the unclean animals of the time before. And God was speaking to him in this way to help him to understand that no longer were those restrictions a part of their life. Vision can be the act or the power of imagination. Did you ever hear of Walt Disney? Well, here was a fella who would have probably never fully been able to grasp the depth of what Steamboat Willie was going to really turn out to be. And when Mickey Mouse and Minnie and Donald and all of them are played, there's not probably very many people in our whole world that have not been affected by the imagination of one person. We used to know a friend out in California who worked for Walt Disney, and that's the department he worked for, was the imagination department, or Imagineering, they called it. But it was the idea of coming up with new things and new ideas. But the vision that Jesus speaks about here, and that I want to talk about this morning, is more surrounded by the act of seeing. These things. The act of seeing. And I hope that when we're done, we'll understand that it's also the power that comes along with sight. Sight is what Jesus was addressing himself to. And it was the idea of spiritual understanding kind of sight. I know that in the verse that we read, we heard something also about hearing. How that those two things go together. And in fact, in our services, you may even see some who are helping others to hear by or through what they see. Because there's a language that's found right down here as we sign to those who are unable to hear and make it possible for them to have communication. I'm told that visual acuity, that sound good? Visual acuity? Visual acuity. It actually refers to the idea of clarity. That's what I meant a while ago when I took my glasses off. You all are just a big blur to me right now. In fact, I'm so glad you're all here today. And I hope that you enjoy the... No, wait a minute. Where are you? You're over here. Okay. I need something to assist my visual acuity. Because it doesn't stay in focus anymore. Now, some of us, that happens earlier. Some of us, not till late. I know some people who exist and who still are just using the same pair of eyes that God gave them. We're talking about a little bit more than that. We want to talk a little bit more about more than that. And it's going to involve a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to say to you that things are not always as they may appear to be. In my childhood days, you've heard me speak of Brother E.W. McMillan. He was an old-time gospel preacher and a long-time college professor and so on and so forth. But he influenced me a great deal. Well, he tells this story about him, a true story about himself. He had become a preacher in a small town. And in his office was a large window. And he placed his desk in front of that window because it was the only window in the room. And he could look out on the town gym down on the main street and see things going on. Folks might go by and wave up at him and he'd wave back, etc. Well, one day, his 24-year-old blonde-headed daughter came home. No one in town had ever met her before, or probably ever seen her before, unless they actually knew Brother McMillan, for him to have mentioned something about her. Well, she came into his office, and there they were, having a big old hug in front of the door, in front of the window. And he sat down in his desk, and she sat down in his lap, and they laughed and kissed and hugged and just talked about... You know where I'm going, don't you? Well, pretty soon it was all over town that the Church of Christ preacher was having an affair with a young blonde woman. And Brother McMillan said, "That's not a woman, that's my daughter." You have to be careful, right? Because things may not be what they appear to be. And that involves the idea of couple of things, actually. Focus is one of those. I didn't bring my old Canon camera with me that I could stick up here and put everybody in focus because of my eyeballs. It's a mess to try to get it all right. But you know what I mean when we're talking about focus. Aren't these wonderful, these things that just take pictures and you don't have to do anything but push a button? Yeah, you don't have to try to focus it. And sometimes mine are a little wavy. Anybody there with me? Okay, but most of the time, if I work at it, I can get a nice clear shot. It's in focus. And the other word I want you to remember is the word perception. That's when you think you're close to the curve and you're not. Is anybody here old enough to remember curb feelers? Now, this is not something dirty, okay? But we used to put on cars metal things that hung out on the side and you could hear them scrape against the curb so you didn't dirty up your white walls. So, perspective. How close are we? Where are we? We want to try to find some of those things out. And there's a number of things that some have said in the past. In fact, one of those is that there is none so blind as those who will not see. Now, according to the Random House Dictionary of Popular Proverbs and Sayings, this proverbs has been traced back to 1546 to John Heywood, and then it says in a side note, it resembles the biblical verse of Jeremiah 5 and verse 21. Well now, I wonder where John Heywood came up with the idea. Well, the passage of Scripture says, Jeremiah 5:21, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." And this is not some proverb that a man came up with. This is a teaching from God. There are none so blind as those who will not see. That's what Jesus was speaking to, isn't it? That's the whole idea. And the full understanding of it says that most deluded people are those who choose to ignore what they already know. And we talked about this in our Bible class this morning, didn't we? Those of you that were in the class that I was in, Bobby Davis's class, the backdoor class, the laid back class. Isn't that right, class? We talked about the idea of hearing things, knowing things, and still struggling with doing them. On the street where you live, am I making any kind of a communication here for you at all? We all struggle with from time to time doing what we already know we ought to do. And unfortunately, our world sometimes is full of people who refuse to acknowledge or confess that these things are necessary or that they are wrong in their own life. They refuse to recognize things as sin or being against God's will. And Jesus said about those kind of people, in fact, he said this about the Pharisees who were offended at Jesus' teaching, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Matthew 15 and verse 14. Those people willfully, blinded by their own self-righteousness, if you will, Jesus then said that passage that we just read from Matthew 13 through 15, that this is why I speak to them in parables. They need to learn how to have some spiritual sight. In our day and age, I guess one of those sayings is, that guy can't see the forest for the trees. You ever heard that said about somebody? What are they trying to express? That sometimes we go through life and we miss some of the important things that are right next to us. And that's what we want to try to keep ourselves from doing. Sometimes we point that out to other people and we blame them. And why is it that we seek to justify the things that we do that are contrary to the will of God or against what God wants us to do? And why is it that we refuse then to confess our own error when error is present? Well, one of those reasons is because, like the people of old, we don these blindfolds that Satan offers us and have us close our eyes to the truth. The Apostle Paul wrote over in the book of 2 Corinthians this, and he said, "If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. And if I'm reading that right, Paul was saying that they were to blame themselves. That is, that they were refusing to see what was plainly being shown to them. Satan was happy to furnish a blindfold. But you must be someone who accepts it in order for it to be so. I hope you're hearing that. He hands out lots of blindfolds. He lines out lots of things to try to get you to see or try to get you to not see what God really wants or what He means. And yet you must be the person who accepts it. Jesus is making a reference to this, and He called that the blindest blindness of all. What really is spiritual 20/20? What is this acuity, if we're going to have it, visual acuity, where things are clear, where things are understandable? You see, spiritual blinding, what is that? God wants us to see things spiritually. So I'm saying to all of us, we need to learn to see the spiritual side of what's happening to us in the here and now. We need to hear, and we need to hear spiritually. Sometimes that's a hard thing to grasp. What are some of the blind examples? Well, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, can't you? And there was a blindfold there. God said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." What did the evil one say? Well, you will not surely die. That's the blindfold. God's afraid you're going to be as smart as He is. That's why He doesn't want you to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll know what God knows. And He doesn't want any competition there. Well, those are Bob's words. Those are not ones you'll read in the Bible. But the idea is that Satan was telling them that they didn't need to pay any attention to this. If they knew the restrictions, Adam and Eve, and they understood them, why did they do what they did? They closed their eyes to the idea of the future reckoning in order to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, says the Scripture. The tragic aftermath of their blindness brings about death. The book of Romans says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's what we're looking for. Eternal life. Another one of those examples is Lot. This one's a better one, I think, because it involved a personal thing. Remember that Abraham and his nephew, they both had great herds and flocks and so forth. And their herdsmen got into some kind of argument. "There, you guys are in our way. Y'all need to get out of here. We were here first." And they had a disagreement. So Abraham said, "We need to settle this. And you just look out and choose which way you want you and your herds and your family to go." You remember that? Lot looked out to the well-watered plain of Jordan. Now, who wouldn't like this place? It's like a garden out there. It's wonderful. And it looks like it's the best place in the world for him to take his herds and all of his family off. And so he made that choice, didn't he? But he did not consider long-term for the future. He didn't understand the influence of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in those two places were very wicked. He had no idea that his herdsmen, his family, and all of that were going to be influenced by that. Yes, they had great pasture land. Yes, they had great things for their flocks. And yes, it would look like things were going to go great until they realized, or he realized, that his family was going to be lost because of the wrong influences. And the only point I'm trying to make at all in the lesson today, that we're almost through, is that God wants you to see the big picture. And He wants you to see it spiritually. He wants you to understand that He loves you. Yet there are all of these things that are difficult for us. Have you made a choice that is based upon what looked good, only to find out that was a big mistake? You know, that can happen easily. I'll not try to make some kind of comparison of things that may have been, but maybe something like that has happened to you. Those who are rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful devices, and they plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 9 of 1 Timothy. You remember the story of the man that was born blind? And how that Jesus and His disciples were walking along, and they said, Father, or Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? They were under the impression that the blind person was being punished. That passage over in the book of Exodus that says that God visits the sins of the fathers to the children, that was an indication of passing on bad things in life. When the Bible clearly didn't point it out a different kind of God, a God in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16 that says, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. There was a clear teaching that said no one is responsible for somebody else's sin. And yet, there was a tendency to think that when these things happened, it was God punishing them in their lives. That wasn't true. But they wanted to know the answer to that question. Jesus told them neither sinned. Neither the parents nor this man has sinned. But this has happened simply that the works of God could be manifested in them. And God wants people to see Him in us. Shall I say that again? God wants people to see Him in us. That's seeing and hearing spiritually. If God can make a man who was born blind physically, what about spiritually? Can God make a man see spiritually? Of course He can. That's the idea, that we would listen to what God has to say. That's the 20/20 vision. That's the spiritual visual acuity. So what's your spiritual vision? What are you? Are you 2150? Are you 2200? Or are you 2020 with the idea of what God is looking for? God is not happy with those who know what to do, who have an opportunity to learn about Him, and still refuse. Paul says in Romans 1 and verses 18 and following, that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Don't we see a lot of that today? That truth is driven underground and we don't understand all of that. And yet he says that from the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. No wonder Satan wants to get at our children and tell them that God didn't create the world, that it happened with a big bang, or that we just washed up on the shore somewhere. Because the things that are clearly seen about God are seen in the things that God created. That's understanding spiritually. That's what God is looking for from us. We don't need Satan's blindfolds and think that we're hiding from what God has said or even denying the existence of God. You know what happened to them? In Romans 1 and verse 18 and following, it very plainly says, God gave them up. Now, I know that's a hard thing sometimes for us to think about that. That is, that God would give up on anybody. I don't want to even suggest to you that you want to go away from here thinking that God maybe has given up on you, because He hasn't. You must look to Him. You have to look at what He is saying. And I've just got to throw this in. This is not a political statement. But there is no election that will ever save America. Only God can save America. And that happens one by one. That happens when we listen to what He says. We must practice what we preach, that God is the God of the universe. And forgiveness will rest upon our confession of our own wrongdoing. It's dependent upon it, according to the Scripture. And we must learn to repent and confess and to forgive and to be that kind of people that looks to others and is willing to forgive. When we say we have no sin, I believe we've heard that passage this very morning already. When we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sow to the flesh and reap corruption, or sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. How's your vision today? Are things getting cleared up from the Word of God? Or are you ignoring what He has to say? Why not go out today and tell everybody, I went to church today, and the preacher improved my visual acuity. We got things cleared up. We're clearing things up so we can understand what God wants. Not what I want. Not what the preacher wants. Not what we think the church wants. What God wants. And that's that we obey Him and love Him. That we see things clearly. So happy to have all of you here today, every one of you, our members, our visitors. We're glad you're with us. Can we lend you some visual acuity? Can you become 20/20? Can you get some correction if you have a little trouble with your depth perception? If your focus has been off, this is the place to get it taken care of. Why don't you come while we stand together and sing?